Hello, friends. Welcome to Unleash Muslim Podcast. I'm your host, Alia, the Love Coach. Together, we will explore metaphysical and energetical aspects of spirituality and also tie in the physiological and psychological aspects. I invite you to join me with curiosity. I would be sharing a lot of why we do what we do. Let's expand together and embrace our uniqueness and our unity. Welcome, everybody, to episode 18. And today's topic is yoga is not devil worship. In today's episode, we will explore the misconceptions around yoga in some religious communities and how understanding the essence and breaking through rumors of division can enlighten your physical experience. If this topic hits a chord with you, definitely listen with an open mind and curiosity. Now, this is a topic that I am very passionate to talk about because I have seen a lot of confusion. So first, I just want to get into why did I decide to do this episode? Many years ago, I did tell one of my Muslim client to practice yoga, and she said that, her husband is not going to allow it because it's tied to Hinduism. And I didn't think much about it. I said, okay, everybody has their own priorities. And it just stayed there. And then last year, I was hanging out with, I was at a Muslim event and I was hanging out with a fellow Muslim lady. We just met and we both seemed very chatty and curious. And as we were just talking about, she made this statement that yoga is devil worship. And she claimed that she has lived in India, so she knows more than me. I tried to kind of explain and share, but I saw like there's no room for, there's no opening to understanding something. So I just paused. I was like, okay, Alia, you're just dealing with somebody who's going through their own process. So I didn't say much. But then I believe a week or a 2 week ago, I saw a Facebook friend. We don't know each other, just connected on Facebook. She posted, she's Christian, and she posted an apology that she has led people to practice yoga, and now she's publicly apologizing about it, that this is not in alignment with Christianity, and this is wrong, and she's sorry if she led somebody on in the wrong direction. So it was like, a very beautiful, humble apology coming from her. But that is when I realized how much confusion there is when it comes to yoga. So what I really want to do today, first I want to unpack the confusion that we have around it, and then I really want to share what it is, and then I want to show everybody, whatever religion you are in, yoga is already part of your religion, whether you like it or you don't like it. So this is going to be a fun episode. So let's first look at what does yoga mean? Yoga means union. And that union, some people take it to all kind of different places. But my friends, that union, you, there's only one thing you can unite with, and that is your soul. It's just by design, it's impossible for you to become in union with anything else but your soul. Yeah, you can fell like you can let the darkness take over, but it's impossible for you to become in union with darkness. Eventually, no matter how lost you are, no matter how sad you are, how depressed you are, the light within you is going to take over you. If not in the physical body after you die, it will take over you. Light is always around you. There's light within you. That's why you're alive. Your soul surrounding light is around you. So let's start with it's impossible for a human to be in union with other creations. What are other creations that we are so scared of? One is what we call devil, shaitan. There's a name in Arabic, Iblis. And we are just like, oh my God, that is devil's path. It's devil's worship, right? We are just so terrified of it. What we know according to Islam, and I know other religion, I know Christianity and Judaism have like a different explanation for it. According to Islam, Iblis, devil slash shaitan, is a jinn who was so high in worship that he was hanging out with the angels on the higher planes. And when this whole thing got started, I'm not getting into the creation story right now. He was lowered in his ranks, and then, the whole thing started. Now we have a devil with us who's trying to, whisper in our ear all day long. And who's going to win? He's going to win, or your light is going to win? Are you going to listen to the commandments of God, or are you going to listen to this devil? So that is the gist of it. But that is a jinn. You can never become one with that. You can only become one with your soul. And jinn has their own soul. And angel have their own makeup. So first, let's just get this straight, that the only union you can have is with who you are in your true essence. Any yoga teacher, any real yoga teacher, unfortunately, I'm just gonna come out and say it like that. The way we know yoga to be in Western world right now at the moment, it's more of a business. You need to wear, if you're gonna go to yoga studio, now get this merch and get that pant and get this bottle and this mat and now this mat. Let's take all the commercialism out of it. And if you really learn, if you're blessed to learn from a real yogi, they would tell you, are you ready to become one with your higher self? Are you ready to become with your soul? Because this is what this journey is about. But in today's day and age, especially living in the West, yoga is where we go to have more flexibility and get rid of our anxiety. And then somehow we are not able to get rid of any of that. And sometimes we actually get injured. I know somebody who got injured being a yoga instructor and then was like, what? I thought this is the best thing ever. Again, it goes down to not really understanding what is a path of a yogi. Like where it comes from, how it got started. We are just going with the trend. That's what we do, human, with everything. At some point, we just make it a trend. So it's a union, and it's the union always with your higher self. You can say higher self, you can say soul, you can say light, you can say God, whatever makes you feel better. That is what the union is. Now, right now, the way we know yoga, it comes from Hinduism. And if you're anywhere from Pakistan and India or Bangladesh, that's Southeast, where all kind of craziness happened between the 1800s and 1947, that is when the partition happened. And if any of my listeners are listening to this story and they have no idea about it, I would say a little Google search and you'll get the gist of the bloodshed that went on. But what really the real darkness that happened in that moment was the hatred. And I don't say it lightly, the hatred between Muslims and Hindus in that time. And that is one of the unfortunate thing that that area still has. So now it's not about whether what you do or I do is it good or bad. Just because you're Hindu, everything has to be bad. Just because you're Muslim, everything about you has to be bad. It's a mutual hatred for most of the people. So now that we are carrying that hatred, so then it's moving on to the further generation. There's more division, there's more division, there's more division. So I don't know how many generations we are going to take that hatred, but let's put the hatred aside. Let's put the history aside. Let's just look at what is Hinduism. If you look at Hinduism just like any other religion, it's a way of life. You go in it, it's not like I'm gonna follow this, I'm gonna not gonna follow that. No, every religion is a way of life. From start of the day till end of the day, you live your life in a certain way so you can come in alignment with your soul, just like any other religion. Every religion have specific tools to come in alignment with your soul. So does Hinduism. So for them, what they really have, and this is just my understanding. This is my understanding. So there is mind, body, soul. If you would see a practicing Hindu, now I would tell you, not every Hindu friend that you have is going to be practicing. Most of the Hindu kids are just as lost as you are. So I'm talking with somebody who actually practices. They actually learned what their religion is about. Just like all of us right now, most of us, we don't even, we say this is who we are and have no idea what our religion is about. So going back to somebody who actually practices, part of their day would be yoga, which is really connecting with their mind, body. They would follow Ayurvedic healing system, which is they will eat food in accordance to their body type. They are different. There are four different constitutions. You might have heard of Vata, Pitta, and you know those. Thanks to Deepak Chopra, he has introduced us to that terminology. So they will eat very specific food. You know why they eat very specific food? Because for the soul to be elevated, food plays a key role. If I am eating something that is not in alignment with what my constitution is, I won't be able to get to enlightenment. And Hinduism is one of the religion that is just hungry for enlightenment. Their whole thing is set up for enlightenment. It's not about, which is very interesting, like, you know, studying the three Abrahamic religions, we are all about heaven or hell. I want to do this, so I go to heaven. I want to do this, so I go to hell. When you study Hinduism, it's like, you know, they just want to go all the way till the top. That is like, you know, complete union with God, enlightenment. Let's activate all the higher chakras. It's such a beautiful study. If you're ever interested, I highly recommend you study Hinduism. So their food would be very, very, like, you know, in alignment with their lifestyle. And sometimes it could be hard to manage living in the West, especially. Then they would have an element of meditation, definitely in there. And that is where they are really reaching to those higher levels of soul. There are five chakras above our crown chakra. You activate them. That is what swamis are doing. That is what the monks in Tibet are doing. Those are the people who are sitting there elevating themselves, and their elevation is benefiting the whole humanity, and nobody knows about them. And those kind of people exist in every religious community. We just don't know who they are. But in Hinduism, that path has laid out so openly. And also, there are elements of astrology, because the way that religion is set up, it's very much in alignment with metaphysics, where they are keeping in mind the whole universe in a more prominent way. That exists in every single religion, but if you have a Hindu friend, it's very common that they would say, well, you know, the word that they use for that study is, I believe, vastu. So what that is, I'm going to do things according to the time and date I was born, trying to take advantage of that. I know at the end of the day, whatever is God's will would happen, but I am doing my best because I'm in a physical body right now, and I want to align it with my energetical essence as much as I can. Of course, they're extremists everywhere who would take it, you know, to the very extreme and would not even step out of the house if it's not a specific time. So this is what Hinduism is about. So when we look at it and we're like, oh, it's devil worship, it's really not. Yeah, I know that there are a lot of statues that we see, there's a lot of that. But if you really get to the essence of it, again, going down to the essence of it's all about that unity with the creator. On the surface, every religion could look very different. I know on the surface, a lot of people think that, Muslims are, not very friendly or peaceful people, but is that true? No, it's not true. So if you are hung up on it belongs to a different religion and this is part of their worship system, I don't want to do it. It's okay. Don't push yourself. But if you're still with me and you're like, okay, but why they're doing it, right? Let's go into that. What it can do for you, what yoga can do for you. It is such a beautiful practice. It's tied to your energy body. And this is how it works. So there's going to be three elements to a good yoga practice. The first one is breath. Now, again, if you ever had a good yoga teacher, and I'm just saying good, like, somebody who knew it inside out, who actually studied it for many, many years, not somebody who just did a 200 yoga instructor training from a local gym and now they are a yoga instructor. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who is on the path of a yogi. And also, yogi is a person who sees everybody as one. They don't see anybody separate. And my friend, it takes work to become a yogi. Okay, going back to there's three elements: breath, stretch, and a specific pose. Breath. The inhale, a teacher would guide you. This is where you inhale, and this is where you exhale. If your teacher is not doing that, look for a teacher who can show you where to inhale and where to exhale. That is very, very, very important. When you inhale, you're pulling in your soul's light. It's almost like you're on the ground and you're like, soul, more of you needs to come within me. I want more of you to come within me. Every breath is that. That's why we are alive. When we take our last breath, we are out. There's no more soul in this body, and people are going to pick us up and bury us with a beautiful ceremony and food and traditions as well. So when you take in that inhale, you're already become more one with your soul, with light, with source, with God. Again, choose the word that makes you feel better. Then the second step is stretch. That's why people go to yoga, because they want to stretch. They want to have those lean, beautiful legs. They want to have the flexibility. What happens in the stretch, which we don't even realize what's happening? You're expelling the energy that doesn't belong to you. Now, we think we are human. We can go wherever. We can do whatever. Nothing can happen to us. We are energetical sponges. You don't have to be an empath to be an energetical sponge. We all are energetical sponges. So wherever we go, we are absorbing that energy. So our muscles are absorbing that energy. And then we have, like, tightness here, tightness there. And we're like, what is going on? We have absorbed that energy from outside of us, from other than our soul. And that could be an idea we were introduced to. If that doesn't belong to your soul, it cannot be stuck in your energy body. So when you stretch, that energy gets expelled. It's almost like, in the morning when we make our bed and we just, like, flip our sheet up and down. And sometimes there is those tiny particles there just getting off of your bed. So that is what happens during the stretch. Another thing that happens is your chakra open. Now you're bringing in more light and you're expelling whatever doesn't belong to you, because now you're stretching this arm in a very specific angle. Another thing that is happening from that inflow of more energy and the stretch, now that very specific chakra, and there's all kind of minor chakras that we have. Chakra is just a fancy, I believe, not a fancy, a Sanskrit, I believe it's a Sanskrit word for energy center. So the chakra is opening now, and now you expand. Now you feel relaxed. You feel like, oh, that's how it feels to be my soul. And the reason there's a specific pose, that is a third element, it's a specific aspect of you. If you want to heal the fears within you, you'll be working on your lower back. You'll be doing a lot of poses. You will be stretching and breathing in poses of your lower back. That is tied to your safety. That is tied to feeling a sense of inner peace within you, that safety exists within you. It doesn't exist outside of you. So that is why it's designed this way. There is breath, there is stretch, and then there is a specific pose to work on a specific aspect of you. That's why when you meet a yogi who has been a yogi on this path, on this practice for a very long time, they have healed a lot of different aspects of their life already. And now they continue to grow. One of the yogi I can tell you that we all know of is Sadhguru. Ever listen to him? Everything he says is so effortless. He's so here. Because what has happened, most likely, he's practicing yoga every single day. And I know there are much advanced aspects to it than what we are introduced. We know the downward dog and, like, you know, this pose and that pose only. That's why there are so many different branches of yoga. Because when he, like, you know, let's just talk about him, because every time I look at him, I'm like, you know, what is he doing? What is he doing to be so present and chill and just be here and effortless? He's breathing, he's doing the stretch, doing those specific poses, but you know what the real magic is? He's hosting more of his soul in his body than the average human that we know of. That is what yoga does for you. You want more of your soul to come into your body? Practice yoga on a maybe deeper level. Don't just go to yoga because, you know, I want to feel calm and I'll have a sexy body and stretchy legs and whatnot. Go to yoga for what it is. It's a union. If you don't crave that, you're not going to get the benefit out of yoga. The real benefit that it has, you know, the way the spirituality is set up, the way Creator has set it up, you get out whatever you go there for. It all depends on your intention. If I go to the prayer, I am praying so I don't feel guilty that I missed a prayer. That's what I will get. Or I'll go to the prayer that I want to talk to God. That's what I'll get. Or I can go to prayer that because I am in communion with God right now, I'm talking to God, I'm elevating the whole planet right now. You see the difference of consciousness? You see how elevated it is on a different levels? But I will get whatever I am going to it for, whatever the intention I'm setting. So now let's look at how yoga is present in every single religion. So I'm going to start with Islam. So because, you know, that is where I heard it from a Muslim that yoga is devil worship. One of the things that always fascinated me was the way our prayer is structured. And I didn't realize it too much till my gynecologist, when I was expecting, I was telling her that I'm going to start prenatal yoga. And she was, I believe she was Hindu because she was Indian. Yeah, she was Hindu. And she said, but Alia, you pray five times, right? That's yoga. And in that moment, I was like, oh, yeah, it is. I never paid attention to that. And I told her, you know, because right now my belly is coming out. I'm not able to pray with all the proper ways. So I'm kind of praying sitting. So I'm not able to practice all the poses. So then she told me, like, you know, what else I can do. But our prayer, we stand, we put our hands on our heart, right? Just standing still is one of the yoga poses and breathing. But what we are doing, we are reciting revelation. We are reciting Quran. Those are words of God. That is divine energy. So what we are doing in prayer, we are healing ourselves. We are inhaling while we are being in that stillness, and we are stretching different parts of us. Even just standing still, we are expanding and allowing more of our soul to come to us, to come into the body. Then we bend down. And oh my God, if you ever been a kid with like, you know, praying with somebody who's so strict about how you're supposed to be praying, they'll make sure they fix your back so you are in the perfect yoga pose. I know we are so divided and we love to be divided that when someone points these things out, okay, me and you are not that different. It just crawls our skin because, you know, now we are challenging that identity we've been holding on to. So when you are in that perfect yoga pose, you are stretching your legs, your spine, your basic chakra. And just so we are in this topic and we are here, every single religion that we are born into, our soul chooses to come into that religion. Some people change it afterwards because that is what the soul is choosing. But every religion works on very specific aspects of us. Like some religions are more focused on the expanding the heart. Some are more focused on expanding the basic chakra. And it all ties to the journey of your soul. What your soul wants to expand in this moment, right now, in this window of time, in this lifetime. That is what it's tied to. But of course, we all get tied to, like, you know, I am this, you're that, so we need to hate. I understand that. That is part of our ego, but that's not part of religion or spirituality. So then what happens in the prayer? Then we stand up again. Then we pause. And then we go into what we call sajda, prostration. We are going all the way back. And if you look at it, my friend, one of the beautiful yoga poses. It's stretching parts of you. And as you're reciting, your breath is getting regulated. You cannot be out of breath and reciting. Your breath is regulated. That's why when we pray, we just calm down. Our breath is calm because it is tied to very specific yoga poses, my friend. Your parasympathetic nervous system is getting activated through those poses. So that is for who those people who think they are Muslim and they cannot practice yoga. You're already practicing yoga, whether you believe it or you don't believe it. And you can call it devil worship. If we go that route, then you're kind of doing that yourself. So I will just leave you with this uneasy space where you get to decide who you want to be. You get to decide what you want to label other people. My job here, my intention here is to bring the bigger universal truths to you and that comparison. So we are making our choices, our intentions, our words, our decisions from an informed place. And who knows, maybe it will expand you and it will instill that appreciation and love for another human being or another religion that you're not practicing right now and you don't have to. But we don't have to hate each other. We don't have to make each other wrong. And again, this is my opinion because I'm a bridge. This is what I came here to do. This is part of my soul's work. Now let's get into Christianity. Now, one of the things that really fascinates me every time I study Christianity, and I've studied for three years almost, and even my metaphysical study, the PhD program I'm doing is Christianity based. So I am really getting to understand and learn so much from Bible. And one of the things really fascinates me about the way Bible talks about Jesus, his ability to heal. And another thing where he said that I am just channeling that that divine power within me, and you can activate that power within you too. So he was telling all along, you're just as powerful as I am. And if I don't have that much information what went on in his day-to-day life, but I do know that that whole area was Jewish, and then here comes another prophet, and that is how Muslims believe that he is another prophet. I am pretty sure that there was an element of bowing down, bending, and prostration. And I know different Christianity denomination go different ways, but there is a bowing involved. Now, we think we are bowing to God. We are bowing to him in respect. God doesn't need our bowing. He doesn't need our respect. He doesn't need anything from us. He's loving us. We have free will. We can do whatever we want. Yeah, we can choose to show that respect. We can choose to say, God, I want to come to you every day, this hour. I want to talk to you. I want to, you know, sit here with you. I want to feel you, and I bow down to you. But in that bowing down, we are stretching, again, very specific parts of us and very specific pose. And I know every religion does evolve and changes. So imagine how Christians were practicing Christianity. Now, let's see if I don't get this, the dates wrong. I don't even know exactly how old is Christianity. So I'm just going to put a number out there. Let's say 2000 years ago. The way Christians were practicing Christianity 2000 years ago, do you think there was some bowing and some prostration, some stretching going on in their worship, or just being still? One of the phrases that is used a lot in Christian circle is be still and know that I'm God. So what they do, they sit still and they slow down their breathing and open themselves up to what is God talking to them. Or they would say, like, what is Jesus talking to me? My friend, that is yoga. That stillness is yoga. That is when you are creating an opening consciously and saying, soul, I want more of you to come within me. So again, it's up to us if we want to say, like, you know, no, this me, this is Christianity, and this you, now you're some other religion, and now you're wrong, and I'm right, and I'm going to stay here. It's okay. We can stay there, my friend. If that is what makes us feel safe, we can stay there. But I personally believe, being in this physical experience, it is our responsibility to question ourselves and be open and willing to understand why you do something different, why your practice looks different than me. I don't have to convert into your ways, but I can understand your ways. So I don't hate you for no reason. So I can love you, because when I can love you, when I can see the similarities of our ways, then I have transformed that darkness of hatred within me. And that is when you are true anything. That is when you're true Muslim. That is when you're true Hindu. That is when you're true Christian. That is when you're true Jew. That is when you're true Buddhist. Those are the only religions I knew by name right now. I know there's so many more. Every religion teaches us unity. I have not found any religious scriptures up till this day that says you're right, everybody else is wrong, and now go hate those people. Nothing so far. Now let's talk about Judaism. Now I'm studying Kabbalah, so I am assuming that Kabbalah is similar to mainstream Judaism. There's also bowing down. And I remember in Rosh Hashanah ceremony, all the men, they did proper sajda, prostration, just like a Muslim would do. My friend, that is yoga. And I know my Kabbalah friend and my Kabbalah teacher in the Kabbalah community, they are not against yoga. They're fine, because they focus on the They focus on the spiritual truths that have always existed. And there's no right or wrong. There's like, discover the truth, stick to light. Darkness will pull you down. It's your job to stick to light. If we look at Buddhism, again, stillness is a big part of it. Stillness is yoga. At the end of every yoga class, your teacher will say, okay, now practice savasana. What is savasana? Just laying down, being still. You can practice savasana standing. Stand up and be still. You can practice savasana sitting down and being still. So it's everywhere, whether we believe it or we don't believe it. So one of the things that I will be talking way more in our in the next week's podcast episode. So make sure you tune into the next week's podcast episode. All the yoga poses, they are really working on your spine. I know a lot of us have heard about the Kundalini, and then we're just like, oh, Kundalini yoga, Kundalini energy, and I need to awaken my Kundalini. We go a little bit overboard, right? Because it's a new word that we heard. Your spine has the unlimited latent energy hidden within it that needs to be activated, that makes us the highest creation created that we know of. Especially through the revelation, three Abrahamic religions that we have, like, you know, we have a proper book and we follow that and whatnot. It's said over and over that we are the highest creation created. And that was one of my question. Why? What makes me so high that when God created Adam, he asked all the other creations, including angels and jinns, to do sajda, prostration to Adam. What is so special about me? I want to know. I don't want to die without knowing who I am in my true essence and my true power. Friend, the answer is in your backbone. And unfortunately, right now, human backbone is going through a lot of chaos. Because of our lifestyle, we don't take care of our backbone. Yoga helps you take care of that backbone so more of your soul light can come in your body. So, my friend, that is all that I had to share on this topic. I hope you find it enlightening. Share it with someone that you know might benefit from it. But first, just sit with yourself. See how you feel about it. And you might be like, you know, okay, Ali, I was already loving yoga. I understand all of that. I invite you to go a little deeper. Challenge yourself to be on the path of yogi. Path of yogi is they don't see any separation. Are you seeing separation between you and maybe your spouse, and you're like, you know, he's not that good and I'm better. Why he's like that and I am like this? Or you have any relationship in other relationships in your life or any other groups right now? Because, you know, right now the world is most divided in all the time that we have known, at least for our generation. Are there any groups that you're judging them and you're like, why they are like this and they shouldn't be like this? Where you're not truly being a yogi in your life. So I will just leave you with that question. And I'm sending a lot of love to all of you. And I will talk to you next week. Bye.